This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game, shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can be a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help you find options within your budget. Try it today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
History tonight, the first father-son duo.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Tatum, tap out another three. This is getting ridiculous.
The Rich Eisen Show.
If you have a sombrero, throw it to the sky.
Earlier on the show, host and comedian Roy Wood Jr. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman, actor Mike O'Malley, and Super Bowl champion James Harrison. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Bruce Feldman will be joining us to talk college football. And hour number two, James Harrison will be in studio, but the actor, James Harrison.
Not the player.
Well, I mean, it's all part of the same human.
Player for life.
But he'll be here in support of the show Heels, in which he is acting, and the showrunner and fellow actor from that show, Mike O'Malley, will be with him.
Nice.
So there's all of that still to come. 844-204-RICH, number to dial my power rankings in a moment.
Ooh.
I have them right here in my hand. But first, recapping the top story. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a Kansas City Chief, and the Titans apparently are going to pay half his contract.
Oh.
And Ian Rappaport's saying that it's going to take a little bit to get this thing done because he's got to sign a new contract with the Titans first before he's traded to the Chiefs.
Okay.
So there you go. Okay. That's the paperwork, the busy work. The idea, though, is that they would like to get him up to speed in time to throw him out there against the Las Vegas Raiders, and that DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best of his time and his generation, and for sure, since he came into the league in 2013, he ranks first in targets, receptions, and receiving yards, third in receiving touchdowns. That's it. He's one of the best of the best. The question is, how much of that does he have left? I'm sure he will use anybody that's asking those questions as whatever fuel he needs to take on the world. And the next few games for the Chiefs at the Vegas Raiders, home for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who will not have Mike Evans, who is expected to be out through the Tampa Bay bye of week 11, and will not have Chris Godwin, who underwent surgery on his dislocated ankle today. Then after the Chiefs are done with Tampa on a Monday night, home for Denver, the big one at Buffalo before they visit Carolina. They have Vegas in their house the Friday after Thanksgiving. There's a lot of winnable games on their schedule, gents. A Sunday nighter against the Los Angeles Chargers. And then their final four begins with a visit to Cleveland. I mean, this team is the last remaining undefeated team. They are in a pole position in their division and in their conference for winning the one seed. And you've got to say, as with each passing day, you have a better chance to three-peat than the day before so far. Speaking of Cleveland, it does appear, barring any unforeseen changes, we're going to be seeing Jameis Winston for the rest of the year. The reason why we saw Dorian Thompson-Robinson is because Jameis was the third inactive quarterback on
emergency
Sunday.
Yeah.
And, all right, I just don't understand this league where you got to have quarterbacks as a third. Like, how many times do you have to see quarterbacks go down over and over and over? I don't get the whole roster business. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But at any rate, Jameis wasn't active. He now is. Kevin Stefanski made it official moments ago.
Jameis will start. Dorian, obviously, coming off that injury. We'll see how he looks this week, but Jameis will start. Jameis is the guy we've kind of talked about all offseason, who works very hard at this. Like you mentioned, it's a ton of experience playing this game. Has seen a lot. He prepares really well, so yeah, feel good about it.
Should feel good about it. I'm looking forward to seeing it. He should. We should see the deep ball a lot more. That's for sure. And
he's going to push it downfield.
I mean,
it's going to be a wild ride.
He's right, the king of the 30-30. 30 yeah. touchdowns, 30 interceptions.
It is going to be a wild ride.
It's going to be a wild. But you know what, Ryan? It's been a boring ride for the Browns
100%.
All year. It's been a boring ride. Yeah. It has been an unwatchable ride. It has been a frustrating ride. It has been an absolute, complete disappointing ride.
I mean, they haven't scored they haven't scored 20 points in a game this year.
And so, you know, and this is, listen, nobody should ever boo somebody as they're being carted off the field or cheer the fact that they're being carted at all. So that was beyond the pale and rightfully called out by Myles Garrett and Jameis and everyone else in Cleveland. And not to paint all Browns fans with that same broad brush, but we can move on from that. Bottom line is I wanted to see Jameis in this offense weeks ago. And I know Browns fans did too.
It would have been nicer if he had Cooper still there, though. For
yeah,
them and him.
Sure. But, you know, okay, Jerry Jeudy, time to step up.
Yep. Last chance saloon.
Let's go.
For Jerry Jeudy.
And last time we saw somebody take over this offense with a veteran head, they wound up being the comeback player of the year. So,
well, you know, post game pressers are now going to be must see. We might have to have a Jameis Winston files to add
watch.
To, you know, our Harbaugh watch because.
Here we go. Let's see what this thing looks like with Jameis there. Let's see how different it can be. Let's see what the offense, how Stefanski schemes it different because they were scheming it different from last year to this year for Deshaun. And we will see how this thing looks. For Cleveland, and guess who's coming in? Ballmer. And they have got five straight losses. They need to win in the absolute worst way. They've already lost at home to a division opponent. I mean, Cincinnati, they're supposed to have owned him in Joe Burrow. Joe finally wins one, right? And now here comes Baltimore on an absolute heater coming in. Absolute total heater coming in. Nick Chubb scored last week, which is a very nice moment for him. I bet you he was dreaming of that for over a calendar year. So there's that. You got that news there.
Njoku's still balling right there. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to talk myself into the Browns, but you never know.
It's just been, as I said, unwatchable, disappointing, boring. This is now going to be a much wilder ride. And
well, Kevin Stefanski also announced Ken Dorsey's going to call the plays.
Okay. Is that right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Just switch it up. I'm sure Baltimore is like, okay, what makes it more difficult, I imagine, to prep? Like, you don't know what's coming at you?
Yes.
Right? All right, Cleveland, it's time to do that. So there's news on that front. Is there any other news that's going on?
Jaden Daniels not going to practice today.
Man.
He's week to week. It doesn't seem like it's trending in the right direction for that showdown with Caleb Williams.
Time with Caleb Williams coming into town. Yeah, I mean, Caleb versus Mariota doesn't have the same luster, but Mariota certainly had the same luster last week,
yeah,
too.
Pretty good.
So, I mean, in terms of NFC East leader taking on NFC North, I guess what would you call it? Because every last team's in the playoffs right now in the NFC North. You contender. Here we go. That'll be fun. But what a bummer. I would have really loved to have seen Jaden Daniels at the top of his game with Caleb Williams. The last scene, I saw him with my own two eyes, and I spoke with him 2 days before he got out there on the field before my own two eyes. Much more confident, much more aware of his role in the playbook, much more of the playbook open to him. What a performance it was against Jacksonville. He absolutely had his best game as a pro, and now they're coming off a bye, and hopefully for them more healthy in whatever way they needed to get healthier. And let's go, man. But that's a bummer.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Will Levis considered a long shot for this week, so it looks like Mason Rudolph again. And the Titans executed another trade. They're sending Ernest Jones to Seattle for Jerome Baker and a fourth-round pick.
What do you think L'Jarius Sneed is thinking? I guess what? I'll just look at my bank account. I guess that's helpful.
Every week when the check clears.
But Hopkins is going to the spot where
I know
he made his bones.
Yep.
And this team that spent a lot, and we're wondering why, you know, why is part of their rebuild going and get Calvin Ridley and going to get L'Jarius Sneed?
Tony
why are they
Pollard?
Doing that? Tony Pollard, why are they doing all that? And right now, they don't have much to show for it, and they're starting to sell off parts.
Just shows when you don't get the quarterback pick right. I'm not saying Will Levis wasn't the right pick, but he's not performing as such right now, and he's not ready to play. It, you know, that really affects everything in your organization.
Sure does. Makes everybody look like they don't know what they're doing.
Exactly.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Speaking of people thinking you don't know what you're doing, it's time for my power rankings. How's that for a...
I love it.
A turn of a page. Hit
it. This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
You know, I'm so proud every single time I do these that we have, you know, a place where back and forth can be handled. In this day and age, you know, criticism, people can't take it. They don't want to hear it.
Right.
Okay, they get sensitive about it, you know. I feel good that there's back and forth, but nothing makes me prouder than the fact that we have incorporated Private Pile from Full Metal Jacket into our drop.
With He-Man.
With He-Man. I'm very proud. I'm very proud of it all. Okay. Number 10 on the list stays like before. I'm keeping the Bears on my list.
Like before.
Win the bye week.
They win the bye week. They're on the list. Again, like I said moments ago, I saw them in person. Caleb Williams is getting all groansed up, and he's taking more ownership of everything there. And I can't wait to see him against Washington, which does not appear to have Jaden Daniels, which is a bummer. But the Bears' defense is terrific, and I think they were a top third-tier team in the NFL. So I'm just keeping them at 10. Number 9 back on the list. Black and gold, here we go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, baby.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are number 9.
Black and gold. Here we go.
That's right. 5-2. Russ damn near threw for 300 yards. He had a 30-point game for the Steelers before Aaron Rodgers ever had one for the Jets. Unbelievable. George Pickens is now catching it. He's got 100 yards. Everybody's getting 100 yards like Oprah's giving away cars under the sea. Najee had 100. And defensively... At number 90, he can play football.
Who do they have? They have the Giants on Monday night. Oh, my God.
I think they're going to go to 6-2. What do you think?
Holy cow. Yeah.
They're going to finish the first 8 games having won 6 of them.
Wow.
With 2 and play both guys.
But they needed to do that because of way the back end of their schedule.
Number 9 on the list, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number 8, down 4 spots. Oh. I'm putting the Houston Texans here. You know what? I'm just wondering if the NFC North is showing people a blueprint on what to do to CJ Stroud, because the Vikings got him.
Send him. Boom. Fire.
And then the Packers got him. No one else has been able to do it yet. They've won the other 5 games that they've had. Joe Mixon's been a revelation, though. Joe Mixon's been terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Nico Collins going out is leading to... much, you know, and this is absolutely fantasy related, having him in 2 leagues. And my son, Coop, he said to me throughout this game is, Dad, where's Tank Dell? And I'm like, he's on the screen. He didn't catch a ball. It was a troubling loss for the Texans, but one that I think they'll shake off against Indianapolis and be 6-2 at the 8-game mark also, which is terrific. But they went down 4 spots. Moving up 2 spots, they lost their quarterback in the middle of the game. And they had to go and sit there and go, uh-oh. And that's nothing against Marcus Mariota. But the way the Commanders handled their business with Jaden Daniels going down, and defensively, doing what they're doing, the run game, the defense, and then, you know, Mariota, this is a just shows you again, rostering and coaching and how it works together with the on-field product to win. I mean, Terry McLaurin, when he was on earlier, said that you don't have to change your offense when Marcus Mariota pops in the game. And so many teams will have one quarterback does one thing and the backup does another, and the coaching can't figure out how to make that work. Well, the Commanders did that midstream. And they eviscerated a team that could be eviscerated, which the Commanders have not really, you know, done.
In forever.
Right.
Yeah.
They're seventh. Back on the list, I'm putting the Packers here.
I like it.
I'm putting the Packers here. Okay. I know Jordan loves making mistakes. He's got as many interceptions as Mahomes. He's tied for the most with Gardner Minshew, which is, you know, not the sort of category you want to be in. Running, defense, all those guys. Romeo Doubs, he was pissed about his role in the offense, and I got to tell you, might have been right about it.
Yeah, he might be their number one receiver.
Might have been right about it.
Him and Jaden Reed, 1A, 1B.
He's physical. He's a dude, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like what I'm seeing there. I'm putting him sixth, top five, up three spots. Your Buffalo Bills. You know how many interceptions Josh Allen has this year? That's right, Bagel. Zero.
Bagel, zero.
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 Kind of shocking because he was the turnover guy for a long time.
The All-22 Twitter people, I saw a couple of them saying Amari Cooper did not know the play that he ran the touchdown route on. Go figure that. Go figure that.
Well, that's good news.
Okay, I mean, but does it matter? He scored.
I don't know. Yeah, hopefully maybe his presence will free up Kincaid a little bit.
But and I think they found themselves another running back in Ray Davis. Yep. And then eventually the defense might get healthy enough to bring in their reinforcements.
Keon Coleman's kind of coming around.
Yes, and I think Amari Cooper's helping with that, too. Number four on the list, down one spot. The Minnesota Vikings are a top five team. They've lost just one game. I am concerned that Sam Darnold's slowing down a little bit. And I saw Justin Jefferson say these 80, 90-yard receiving games that he's having, he pissing him off. He wants to break through for those buck 50, buck 70 ones. Which I love. I love that about him.
That 90 a game is still like a 1,600-yard season.
I know, with a touchdown, too, on top of it. And defensively, you know, the teams that know him best. The Packers got him in the second half, and then the Lions just got him. They did come up with a big defensive play that did seem to be putting the Vikings in position to win it. That said, they're four. Number three on the list, up two spots, are the Baltimore Ravens. Oh, my goodness gracious. Lamar, 8-22.
Seems low.
8-22.
Three?
Yeah,
which three. Is two better?
Yeah.
One, two.
I'm trying to be consistent here because I'm weaving this all together, gents.
I know what you mean.
I said the Chiefs would beat the Lions in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So I'm going Lions 2 and Chiefs 1 until further notice.
That's it.
I think your list can adjust during. There may be some
there's a lot other of lists.
Right now.
People.
They're just going to do the right now.
There may be some other people in this business who say one thing and forget about it, and then we'll just do another and say I was right both times when it's most convenient.
Rich,
I will not do that. I am not one of those people. I said
people,
before
Chris.
The season.
I mean,
the Chiefs
about me.
Will three-peat, and the Lions will be the team that they three-peat against in New Orleans. And right now, I think I'm looking really good about that.
That's fine, but you can still say in week eight that the Ravens may be better than the Lions. That doesn't change your Super Bowl
pick. All right.
But I don't care. It's
no, I mean, if the Ravens played the Chiefs right now, would they beat them? I mean, sure, they could.
They were
Would the Chiefs be able to do to them again what they did the other night in week one? Sure.
It's a pretty good list, actually. I'm pretty proud of you. It's a good list. I think you can make a case for the Eagles to be 10th. That's about it.
Falcons and Bucks off the list. The Bears are a 4-2 team that I think play better defensively, and I need to see the Eagles. I mean, they feel good about themselves right now, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, they're right
and
there.
You know me, Rick. And I know the Bears beat, you know, Carolina, and they beat, you know, Jacksonville.
they're right there.
I get
Bears
it.
Bears are right there.
I get it.
And you know, Rich, I normally don't Eagles. Like arguing about your list, so but I agree with Chris. Good list.
Yeah, good list.
So that's my power rankings.
Good list.
So good, these guys can't even bitch about it.
Oh.
Falcons and Bucks off the list, by the way.
I mean, I see the Cowboys well,
the
on there.
The cream
but that's
is
cool.
separating itself yeah. from the crop.
Bring me Bruce Feldman.
Feldman!
It's a weird way of saying
Feldman!
I can't wait to chat college football. It's a very weird way. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Very smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called AutoQuote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network with Bruce Feldman, we were just talking about Indiana and Coach Cignetti and what they're doing right now. So what can you tell me about Coach Cignetti? I mean, other than Googling him, as yeah. he invited everyone to do, like, what can you tell us about
the
him?
Guys I talk to and I know pretty well on that staff just say he's like the all ball football coach. And in this day and age, that's hard to pull off. As we were talking about a minute ago, you know, Chip Kelly came out here and at UCLA and could do that for a while. But I think some of the challenges with NIL, especially at UCLA, there's definitely the buy-in. I mean, our crew for Big Noon was there last week for Nebraska. It was a sellout. It was a great atmosphere. You know, I think they are, you know, obviously they would love to go to the playoff, and I think they have actually a decent shot to do it this year. But if you're 8-4 at Nebraska, at Indiana, you're 9-3, that is really heady stuff. You're that way at UCLA. It's not USC, but like, it's just a different animal. But at Indiana, it's this forever basketball state. And I think, you know, he worked the portal so well because he got 13 or 14 of his guys who were with him at James Madison, really good players, really smart players. He took a really good quarterback from the MAC in Curtis Rourke. He got a bunch of other guys from like Wake Forest and Old Dominion who are good players. And I think he has a very smart system. His defense coordinator, offense coordinator came with him from JMU. Those guys are good coaches. By the way, the offense coordinator's name is Mike Shanahan. He's obviously not that Mike Shanahan.
But I love it.
But he's going to be a guy you're going to hear more about, this version of Shanahan. And Bryant Haynes is a good defensive coordinator who's a rising star. And Cignetti is 63 but feels like he's 43. And he's got an edge to him, and it fits. And I think he's just right now in this kind of sweet spot He's with a lot of confidence. There's a little bit of swagger to him where it feels a little pro wrestling like, in terms of it's calculated, some of the things he's saying, how he's saying them, not just for the fans, not just for the media, but I think for a program that has, you know, it's been forever since they won more than 8 games in a season, that they need somebody who has total belief that we're going to kick the other teams behind. And he's not shy about telling people that he's going to do it.
Because he's doing it. That helps, by the way, to walk it, too. I mean, you know, that's a couple times you've mentioned how they haven't won 8 games in a while, 8-4, 9-3. Hard to see the multiple losses, you know, right now. They're taking on Washington. Is Rourke going to be okay, or he's not?
Yeah, I mean, Rourke may miss this weekend, but had a procedure where they think he's going to be back, you know, at the least, probably in like 2 weeks. And the guy behind him, Tatum Jackson, is really talented. His brother's, you know, an NBA player. He was at Tennessee, very well thought of recruit. He was actually one of the guys that Cignetti inherited. He's talented. Like, I think he'll do well in this system too. And in some way, it kind of bodes, I think it bodes well, because they should handle this, you know, this next game. And then all of a sudden, you know, when Curtis Rourke, who's very experienced, you know, quarterback from the MAC, when he moves on, and all of a sudden, I think you have a guy who's now got his feet settled in the system.
Well, I mean, and again, it's hard to ascribe wins to teams that aren't, you know, used to just saying, oh, you're better than them. You're gonna perform better, and we should expect it. I mean, Indiana's at Michigan State. They should win that game.
They should. Michigan State, you know, Jonathan Smith's got him going. He's got a talented quarterback. Right. The defense is solid. So that's not a gimme game.
Well, and then they have Michigan in their house. They I'm straight up right now. I know you said you gotta go to the dentist later on. I know how that feels.
They're gonna scuffle to try to get to 7-5 at this point.
Michigan?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm with you. And then they're at the horseshoe. Oh my word. That after a bye. So they got a bye before they go to the horseshoe, and then they got Purdue.
Purdue stinks.
Look at us talking Indiana football. Like, legitimate. Because you've got Oregon, which is number one in the country now. You got Ohio State, Penn State. Indiana's number 4 in the Big Ten right now, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and I mean, look, they're not that, because obviously Ohio State has a conference loss. People forget that, but it was, you know, that's Oregon's right in the league.
I guess in terms of just expected how long they can go further. You never know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Indiana, man, this could be a situation where the committee, oh, that's for down the road with the committee. But anyway, Indiana's doing very well. That's great for them. Oregon is worthy of the number one overall selection.
Yeah, they have a really good win over Ohio State. I think I a lot of credit to Dan Lanning and that staff. The offensive line has come a long way from the beginning of the year. I think Dylan Gabriel's looked against the Buckeyes kind of what I thought he was going to be, the Heisman guy this year. And there's still a lot to be done, but they did a good enough job on defense as well. Like, Georgia looked like what we expected Georgia to look like in the beginning of the year, and they did look like that against Clemson. But after that, they were kind of stubbing their toe and kind of shuffling around in the dark. And now they went into Texas, and it helped to get Mykel Williams back. Like, you know, he will probably be a top 15 pick. He hurt his ankle against Clemson. He was on a pitch count, and it was a low pitch count. He was not playing much. And then I'd heard last week, man, he looks like he's back close to 100%. He was dominant. Jalen Walker, you know, I talked to Jim Nagy a bunch from the Senior Bowl, and Jalen Walker's name came up a lot. You know, we did our like preseason call. He was phenomenal in the first half of the game. Quinn Ewers looked really rattled in the first half. The offensive line at Texas, which is good, got manhandled at times and overwhelmed. And again, it wasn't like, you know, Beck looked great in this game. He threw some picks. But again, I think Georgia's defense looked like the Georgia defense in Michigan played a few years ago in the playoff. Like, they got after them. Now, is that Georgia are they going to look like that the rest of the way? Because you have a bunch of 6-1 teams in the SEC. And I feel like Georgia and Texas, I'm buying. Tennessee had a nice win over Alabama, but Tennessee's offense is still they run the ball well, but their passing game is shaky, to say the least.
Right.
And then you're looking at it going, all right, I think LSU's playing pretty good, but that's a team that USC beat. I don't think they're up there with Georgia and Texas, but, you know, they're getting better on defense.
So, yeah, I'm looking at the schedule the rest of the way here. It's great. I mean, 3 Big Ten teams in the top 4. It's It's kind of, again, it's going to take a while for me to say Oregon and Big Ten team, but they are.
They are.
Penn State plays Ohio State the first Saturday of November.
And it's at Penn State, which is not an easy place to play.
Right, but Penn State does not play Oregon, which Ohio State did. So that'll be something that if Penn State does not play Oregon for the Big Ten championship, something for the committee to have to weigh. And I'm kind of already trying to figure out what issues the committee may have facing them, but there's still 12 teams. That's for down the road. Are we in a spot now, Bruce Feldman here from the Fox Sports and the Athletic on the Rich Eisen Show, are we in a spot right now where, and in the day and age with the playoffs meaning everything, that kids who have NFL draft grades on them of significance are going to start thinking about not playing anymore?
In a playoff game?
No.
Oh.
If the team's not making the playoffs,
yeah, I can see
right
that.
Now in the 12, again, you know, we're getting further and further away of the importance of, if you will, bowl games, with all due respect to those who wear those loud jackets, and the bowls mean a lot to communities. But are we in that spot now where some players are going to start thinking about being done for the year?
I think so. There's two points to this. The first point is, I know of a story last year that I think is well known in scouting circles of a skill position player who was pretty well regarded in the draft, decided to come back and play in the bowl game, got hurt, couldn't leave because he was like still would have been in recovery mode for the draft process. So he had to come back for this year.
Right.
So that story, I'm sure, gets around because I know it. So I'm sure it's around. The other part, and I don't know how this affects it because I think it's different in different cases, but now you have guys with NIL contracts. Like, is there a case where they may not get everything that's committed to them if they don't play in the bowl game? You know, is that obligation not going to be considered met? I don't know. Because a lot of the times the NIL deals are really about what you do social media-wise. Do you visit these high schools? Do you visit, you know, X, Y, and Z? It's not necessarily about whether you played in X amount of games. But I don't know how some of the contracts are written and what the levers are that may prohibit that.
Yeah, and the reason why I ask is, first of all, obviously I have my own football program that I'm worried about right now, and there's some big-time players on it. I'm wondering if we're going to start seeing big-time players and programs that are already here towards the beginning of November.
Make business decisions,
certainly since we saw a rash in early October of players saying, I'm redshirting, because I'm already looking down the road and I'm seeing we're not going to get playing time here, and I'm redshirting. I'm just going to stop playing this year. And I'm wondering if this might actually lead to more programs having players sit because they're like already looking at the combine.
Yeah, and I think that will absolutely happen because I think it happens, and sometimes it doesn't really get out where, oh, this person has shut it down, or maybe there's an injury and the injury is a season ending where, you know, maybe they could have played on it or not. You know, I think those things are hard calls because, again, like the story I heard this summer was of a player who's not a first or second round guy, but he's probably a mid round player. But he had to come back because he got injured in a bowl game, and the bowl game would fit in the category of it wouldn't. You know, this was not, you know, a team that was going to play like in a playoff game.
Right.
And there are injuries. That's part of the game, you know, and I don't think the player knew, from my understanding, that he was, you know, his stock was what it was,
right?
Or he was in of value until after the fact.
I've got Bruce Feldman from the Athletic and Fox Sports here on the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah, man. I mean, there's a 7-0 team, and BYU at 11. Army is 7-0.
Iowa State's still undefeated.
Right. I mean, and these are some teams that are got to be sitting here thinking they got serious chances to make the playoffs.
Well, how about this? Like, the every year Notre Dame has this kind of funky schedule in that, like, obviously USC's on it always, but there'll be a team, like, sometimes they play Pitt, and this year Pitt's really good. Sometimes Pitt's not really good. You know, it's like, who's going to be that really good team? Well, what's fascinating is, you know, Navy has been down for like the last 5 years. Ken Niumatalolo had it rolling for a while, and then all of a sudden it started to get sideways. This year, they're really good. Like, both Army and Navy are undefeated, as we said, I think last week, first time in like 80 years that they're.
I think it's now longer. Now that they've every single week
it extends, right?
I think to the 20s now. Like we're in a century now.
This is a big game, like for Notre Dame Navy. You know, Notre Dame's still very good on defense. There's Ben Morrison, who's a really good cornerback. He's out for the rest of the year now. You know, the cornerback's probably a bigger, you know, you would think is a bigger headache to have if you're playing Lincoln Riley's team than an academy team, but you still have to tackle on the edges and the perimeter. And Navy throws the ball better now than most academy teams typically do because they're doing some different stuff schematically. This is a big game. And if Notre Dame wins, we looked at that schedule because, again, coming into the year, they had Florida State on there. Florida State was a team that almost made the playoff last year. Now they're a team that may go 2-10. That, you know, beating Florida State is not going to carry any weight for the Irish. Beating Navy, though, and beating Army will. I mean, those wins will actually probably matter more, may mean a lot more than beating Florida State and USC.
So how does this work now for let's just front load it now that we're heading into the end of October and the beginning of November? Are we going to start seeing like weekly shows with, you know, college football playoff rankings just like before, all the way down to 13 through 15 and stuff like that?
You will. And in fact, not to plug our old former network, but like, you know, I was waiting for the NBA to start last night, you know, it's opening night, and I forgot that it was on TNT, and I turned on ESPN, and they went right into, like, I don't call it a faux rating show, but it was, like, kind of off the AP ratings, and, you know, like, I mean, I cover college football, so I like those discussions. There's a lot of people I'm friends with who are sitting at the desk of ESPN, and it's a good exercise, right? I don't know what the ratings are of a show where those rankings aren't real yet, but they will be soon. I think, again, it's a good exercise for fans because it's the first time you're like, wait a minute, that team is like number 11 in the actual ratings, the rankings, but now they're a number 3 seed or they're a number 4 seed because the champions, the projected champions of the ACC or projected champions of the Big 12. Okay. Now they're kind of, I think it's a lot of fans and a lot of honestly media are still getting used to how this is going to work.
Yeah. The 5-12 for me is always going to be fascinating.
It's going to be great.
Because the 5 is going to be that team that had a terrific season, designs on being the champions of their conference. But they're not, right? You're pretty much, or we will have lost your conference championship game, right? Phew. And to be the 5, you're on campus, and there's some 12, like, what if it's Indiana? You know what I mean? Like, what if it's Indiana?
Or BYU, or Notre Dame.
Right, coming into the house of the, you know, conference champion. It could even be Georgia. What if Texas goes right. and
good luck if you're Boise State then. You know, then it's an interest, you know, for me, if somehow, like, let's say Georgia loses the SEC title game and they're the 5 seed.
Yeah.
Let's say Boise State, which has a big game this weekend at UNLV in the Mountain West, but I think there'll probably be some version of a rematch in the Mountain West. But let's say it's Boise State, you have the runaway best running back in college football and maybe the Heisman winner in Ashton Jeanty. And now he's going to be running against the Georgia defense, you know, like, and NFL scouts are already like on board, like talking to personnel directors, you know, a month ago, they love Jeanty, but still, you know, like I would love to see that matchup. I mean, good luck to him. Cause it feels like he's going to be running like 1-on-15, but
I guess, get used to it potentially. Cause that could be his immediate future in the National Football League. So before I let you go, you just mentioned you're talking to scouts. Who are they bullish on so far?
Yeah, scouts really love Jeanty. I mean, he's a great all-around back. He breaks tackles with balance, as we said a couple weeks ago. Got some MJD in him. I think it's the quarterback situation is super interesting, right? Because, you know, Carson Beck has been up and down. He was a guy I thought would have been the first quarterback taken. Ewers got off to a fast start, got injured, then looked rusty 2 weeks ago against Oklahoma, and then struggled against a really good Georgia defense last week.
Which is as close to an NFL defense as you're going to probably see right now.
You know, Shador has played well. I mean, I think Shador, I feel like, is solidifying himself as a first-round quarterback. I don't know beyond that. And then you have Cam Ward is on a rocket ship with this Miami offense where they're putting up huge numbers. The schedule hadn't been great. But, like, it, you know, we'll see where it goes. And then you have a handful of other guys like Garrett Nussmeier. Obviously, his dad's a longtime NFL quarterback coach and former quarterback. Like, he's looked really good at LSU. And there's some, you know, guys, we'll see how it plays out for them if they, you know, because there's always quarterbacks. But I just feel like you got some really good defensive players in this draft. We mentioned a couple of the guys from Georgia, certainly. And, your alma mater actually has three.
The two guys up front, Will Johnson in the back. I mean, like that, and that's, by the way, I'm staring and seeing how many more games they're going to be playing right now. Because as you said, Michigan's going to struggle to get to 7-5
right
in their title defense season, which this technically still is until, the playoff rankings come out. Travis Hunter, everyone's drooling over him too?
Gotta be. I mean, you probably drool over him. He's a terrific receiver. He's a fantastic
defensive back. Do scouts think he'll play both ways?
I think it depends on who is the purchaser. Who is the guy? Who is the ownership? What does the leadership really think he can hold up? Because it's a question of, obviously there's less plays in an NFL game than in a college game, but there's way more physicality in an NFL game.
For sure.
Than there is. And I think... We just don't see anybody do that in the NFL.
Nope, we do not.
So
we do not. Yeah, I mean, in terms of playing both sides of the football, his current coach always referred to himself as a five-down player: three on defense, one on special teams, one on offense. And that's why I think he will play both in the pros, because Deion is molding him.
Dabble in it more than do what he's done it.
Which is what, like 120 snaps at the professional level, week in and week out. That would be a lot of cold tubs,
That's
a lot of cold tubs.
Yeah,
a lot of cold tubs. Thanks again. Have a safe journey to Columbus, Ohio. It's Nebraska and the Ohio State, correct?
That's correct.
On Big Noon on Fox.
Good luck to Matt Rhule. Okay. You're in the deep end of the pool now. The schedule now.
And fresh after Indiana putting 56 on him. 56. Which is why game day is going to Bloomington this week. Thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Safe trip. We'll see you next week. That's Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back talking some NBA in a minute.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happening. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood1 to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood1.
Talk is Jericho with me, Chris Jericho, goes deep and gets personal with your favorite pro wrestlers, including MJF, Jon Moxley, Adam Copeland, Will Ospreay, Timeless Tony Storm, even Stone Cold Steve Austin. Listen to and follow Talk is Jericho on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Do it now, says the Learning Tree. Thanks, guys.
Game time tickets. Get this device. Get your device. Get this app on any mobile device near you and start buying tickets to anything in your area. And be careful if you're looking to maybe go to a baseball game in Los Angeles or New York.
It's
very shocking. But I'll tell you this.
Game time.
At least Game Time's not messing around. They're basically telling you what it costs.
Yep.
It's showing the view from your seat.
See your seat.
With Game Time Picks, it helps you curate and gets out all the fluff. Normally, there's a lot of fluff. Right now, it's just only the hard stuff right now, which you have to go and buy before you maybe, dive in. But the neat thing is, you see the entire price all in. So there's no extra shock at purchasing. The Game Time Picks feature, it's awesome. It's new, and you should check it out. The guesswork, take it out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks right now. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Sports, concerts, comedy, theater, all the other events in your area. Terms do apply, so visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH, you get $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. So it took me a bit before I was able to clear my schedule and focus in on the National Basketball Association's season tip-off last night. And I was informed of how things were going by looking at the group text exchange when Chris Brockman was wondering if the Knicks had gotten the memo that the season had started.
Just making sure they were aware.
I walk into the room. Coop is already locked into his Boston Celtics.
Yeah, buddy.
Because, again, I got the Yankees, Susie got the Patriots and the Celtics.
Fair trade.
That's where we're, and then we're just creating unique individuals. Yeah, we're true to themselves, walking into the world. That's what we do as parents. Can't wait till Coop goes to college. Who do you like? I like the Celtics, the Patriots, and the Yankees. And they'll be like, get out of here, you freak.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
I'm here to tell you, Coop, it ain't going to be fun for you.
It's a different dance.
It doesn't matter. It's the same thing, Rich. It's the same thing.
It's not like the Yankees, the Celtics, the Patriots.
Exactly. No. It's going to be the same thing, though.
There's no yada, yada, yada.
Yes, there is. You just don't want to look at it.
Look at that. My gosh!
Because I don't care about college sports. It's like an amusement park with all those flags. You guys care about college sports. I'm just gonna come out and say it.
My goodness,
college is fine. I like college. That's why I can like multiple.
Yeah, your pros are pretty much singular.
My pros are one. Yeah. Yeah. Two basketball teams that Sixers I've explained to you a thousand times how it happened, but you don't want to listen. So
at least
Cooper's gonna get the same thing, Rich. So
at least you got one. At least the two teams you root for are not two teams where one guy had a disappointing stint in, and then he goes to the next spot and he's hurt. Hold on.
I'm a Celtics and a Yankees fan. Yeah, okay, Coop. I'm just telling you what's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Uncle TJ's telling you.
And the Patriots? Hey. Yeah, he's gonna hear about it, Chris.
He's going to hear about it. How many goes to college?
How many threes did the Celtics hit last night?
29.
99.
But went like 0-15 in the fourth quarter. And
yeah, garbage time, actually. Garbage time.
Everyone was just jacking him at the end.
Dude.
Nobody made one.
Tom Thibodeau was just like, you could see he was
done.
Yeah, because he's all about perimeter defense. That's why, by the way, he's got Bridges, right? He's supposed to play perimeter defense on the Celtics.
Look, what are you going to do at that point, though?
Josh Hart said only what he could possibly say when asked about all the threes that the Celtics threw in on the Knicks.
I don't know. NBA needs a drug test all down my shoulder. I ain't never seen nothing like that before, man.
Yep.
I wonder if they did. I wonder if somebody got
all you could do is laugh.
The thing that's crazy is that the Knicks played really well if you look at their shooting percentages. 55% from the floor, 37% from three. That's really good.
Well, Carl Anthony Towns played well. It was good to see
and
him.
And Boston just was out of its mind. I mean, Tatum 8-11 from three. Man on a mission.
Deuce McBride. There's that.
Played well.
But Tatum and, I mean, I believe it was Reggie Miller was already talking about, you know, they got a chip on their shoulder, all your Olympics nonsense.
I don't think it's nonsense. Literally everyone's talking about it. I mean, it's rare that the defending champ comes into the season with a chip on its shoulder, but two of their star players really do because of what went down over the summer. It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Look, Jaylen Brown shouldn't complain. He got to spend the whole summer kicking it with Kaiser Gondrzek. Like, I think he was fine not going to the Olympics.
By the way, how should Derek White feel about that?
Yeah, right? Like, he was there.
How does he feel about that? Oh, there's a chip on the shoulder because you went instead of that guy.
Does Drew Holiday have a chip?
I think that there should be dissension in your locker
room. Drew Holiday's going to the Hall of Fame.
Actually,
good.
I think there should be dissension. If I was a Celtic, if I'm Derek White.
No, if I'm Tatum, I'm creating
problems if I'm Derek White.
No, I think it's the other way, Rich, because Derek White got playing time. Tatum didn't. So if I'm Tatum, I'm looking at Derek White like, they picked this MF over me?
Yeah. So Jason Tatum. So that's right. Wait a minute.
You picked
Derek White gets picked over Jaylen Brown, which puts a chip on Jalen Brown's shoulder.
We're one game into the season.
And then Jrue Holiday and Derek White get more playing time than Jason Tatum, which puts a chip on Tatum's shoulder.
Right.
So. And if I'm White and Holiday, I'm like, what are those chips all about? I thought we're teammates.
Yeah.
I think I should create dissension.
League is on notice.
The Celtics need dissension.
By the way, and Porzingis didn't even play.
Yeah, well, he's not going to play till 25, so.
Yeah, I know. Why should he?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
29 threes. It's just like, rest up.
There's no rush to come back, KP.
Yeah, rest up.
You good.
We'll just keep raining in threes.
Get good, big
fella.
What
do you care?
Look, Al Horford is 49, and eventually the wheels got to fall
off. He's not playing back-to-backs, understandably so. He's old.
You know what's old? This conversation already is getting old. This guy, it's old already. If I'm Derek White, I'm creating dissension.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Baby S is giving me money-making moves in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have one kid who's like, I want to just live in a box and do like artistic dancing and paint. Ocean's going to be like, it doesn't matter if I'm broke, Mom. I'm passionate about it. And Baby S is going to be the one that says, passion doesn't pay bills, Ocean.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala, wherever you listen.